Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Dort for the win. It's good.
Krzyzewski takes flight as SGA plays through the contact, banks it in on the foul.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast post-game edition coming to you live Friday night, January 21st, as the Oklahoma City Thunder lose again, this time to the Charlotte Hornets, 98-121. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. Before we dive into this game and break some stuff down, I want to let you guys know that we are proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and official podcast of SI Thunder. Also want to let you guys know that as we approach the NBA trade deadline, which is happening on February 10th, I believe that is a Thursday, the deadline officially hits at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central. The Uncontested will continue our trade deadline show tradition, which is at 1 p.m. Central Time on February 10th. We will go live right here on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and just do a hangout where you guys can all get in the chat and follow along with us as we have live reactions to trades that have already gone down, trades that will come across in that final hour of the deadline, reacting to all the Woj bombs, all the rumors, and seeing what happens league-wide and with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So make plans Thursday, February 10th at 1 p.m. to join us. If you're going to be at work that day, just throw the YouTube stream up on one of your tabs and listen while you work. If you're at home or you're playing hooky from work, pull us up, hang out with us, get in the chat. It's going to be a fun day. We may do a giveaway that day as well in the stream. So make sure you keep an eye open for that as well. Speaking of giveaways, we're giving away another Alexei Pokuševski fanny pack. We were going to announce the winner of that tonight, but we've decided to extend that until our Sunday night show. Excuse me. So make sure that you check out our Twitter feed and get in on that as well. With all of that said, if you are jumping in the live stream tonight, thanks so much. We appreciate you. Let's dive in to this game. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, the Thunder lose to the Charlotte Hornets 98-121. This game was really won by the Hornets in the final 4 minutes of the first quarter. Those final 4 minutes, the Hornets just went on, I think it was like a 14-2 run or something like that, and really just spaced this game out and put themselves ahead by like 10. The Thunder held a little bit steady in the second quarter. They got down by as many as, I think, 20 or 22 there in the third, but clawed their way back all the way to down 9 and had two shots, open looks from three. I think both from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, actually. When they were down 9 in the third quarter, a chance to trim it down to 6, could not do it. And it just felt like the Thunder kind of ran out of gas there in that third quarter. They had made that push to get almost all the way back, and then the tank just hit empty, and they sputtered, and Charlotte just took over from there. Sorry, you guys are going to have to pardon me as I get some water. These solo pods, you don't realize how quickly you you run out of spit until you solo podcast and just talk straight for 30 minutes, and then it starts to wear on you pretty quick. So yeah, the Thunder ran out of gas. I thought the Thunder came out in the first quarter and just looked, for lack of a better term, just really disinterested in this game. The defense, the defensive intensity for the second game in a row was very, very poor. The Charlotte Hornets seemed to just get whatever they wanted. If we look here at the summary of the game, first quarter, Charlotte outscores OKC 20-37. Second quarter, they tie 32-32. And so that was that 69 points in the first half for Charlotte. That's just completely unacceptable. Second half, they only score, 52, which is very respectable. I'm okay with Thunder giving up 52 points and a half. Problem is they scored 46 in the second half. You just can't let a team score 69 points in the first half and think you have any chance of winning at all. Charlotte's bench outscores the Thunder 41-28. Charlotte had 33 fast break points, 52 points in the paint. Actually, the Thunder won the points off of turnovers, but it was I don't have second chance points pulled up in front of me. It felt like those were the two big things, though. Fast break points and points in the paint were both just massive for the Charlotte Hornets. The Thunder did not rebound the ball well tonight at all. Let's look up total rebounds real quick. I'm kind of sorting through stats as we go through this game. Thunder total rebounds tonight was 52. Hornets was 62. When you look at offensive, 15-16 on offensive rebounds. So about the same. But the Thunder just struggled, 27% from three. Bad look. They played bad, but this is kind of what we expected. We want them to lose games and to tank. That is exactly what the Thunder are doing. I think we all just wish that the games, at least the last two games, had been a little more competitive. I love games like that Dallas game where the Thunder are close and they lose. Those are like perfect games for this team right now. Getting their doors blown off by 25 isn't fun and isn't doing anything for anybody. Let's talk about some bad, and then we'll talk about some good. And I'm getting some comments over here in the chat as well. So if you guys are watching the live stream tonight, please make sure to drop some comments. I will definitely get to those. Let's start with some bad. Let's look at players specifically. I mentioned this on the Uncontested Twitter tonight. I think Lu Dort's worst game of the season. He had 3 points, three rebounds, one assist, and three turnovers. One of seven from the field, one of four from three. Lu just did not look like himself at all. He played very, very poorly. I was very upset. Hopefully he has a bounce back game tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Thunder have a quick turnaround, 24 hours, play the Cleveland Cavaliers again. Lu Dort will have the chance to match up on Darius Garland once more. We'll see what happens there. But very poor performance from Lu Dort tonight. Aaron Wiggins, not that I'm expecting a lot from Aaron. Two-way guy, you know, just kind of a fill-in starter. 5 points on 2 of 8 shooting tonight for him. 6 rebounds was nice, an assist, 2 steals. I mean, I thought Aaron was, he was just kind of there. Nothing huge to take away from him. And then other negatives tonight, I mean, Ty Jerome, 1 of 8 is awful. Darius Bazley, 2 of 8. I thought Bazley just made some god-awful decisions. I harp on Bazley a lot. I know some people don't like that I do. I'm just calling it how I see it, honestly. The decision-making is just incredibly piss poor there, and it's very disheartening to see. You would hope that in year three that he would be playing better, that he would be earning himself a nice extension and a role on this team. And quite honestly, I just don't see Darius Bazley being on this team next year. And I know they're trying to give like young players all these opportunities, and they don't know who's like the coach staff doesn't know what's going to happen next season and all this stuff. So you got to play guys and help them progress. But with the amount of turnover this team is going to have, with the amount of draft picks they're bringing in, you can only have 15 guys on your roster. Some guys got to leave. I don't see Darius Bazley on this team next year. I don't think the Thunder are going to extend him. I don't think he has a place on this team. He plays the wing. The Thunder are hopefully drafting a wing in this next draft. Clearing out Bazley opens up more minutes. Bazley just hasn't progressed. And I mean, if the Thunder get to where they want to be, which is a perennial playoff, home court playoff team, pushing the second round, pushing the conference finals, I don't think Darius Bazley has a place on that team. I just don't think he's good enough. You know, we get excited. He moved to the bench and we were like, oh, he's playing better. He's being a little more efficient. He's just being a play finisher. It's a flash in the pan. We've seen this from Bazley for the last two seasons. He'll have a span of three or four games where we're like, oh, he's doing some stuff. He's putting it together. And then we have a month of poor basketball. And then he'll tease us with three or four games, and we have a month of poor basketball. And I really don't want to feel like I'm attacking the kid himself. Darius seems like a very, very great human being. I just don't think he's a great NBA basketball player. He would light up the G League. He would light it up overseas. He's just not a good, productive NBA player, and I don't think he will be. And I don't think he's long for this team. Trey Mann, 2 of 6. All of his shots were from 3 tonight. Only 6 points on 6 shots. He had 3 personal fouls, 1 steal, and then nothing else. A bit of a rough game for Trey tonight as well. There was a time in the fourth quarter where Trey Mann and James Bouknight were matched up on each other. I thought that was kind of interesting because Trey is obviously the player that the Thunder took in the last draft, and Bouknight was the player that everyone thought the Thunder were going to take in that last draft. Both 6'5" shooting guards. So kind of some similarities there. I thought that was kind of interesting. Bouknight hasn't played a lot for Charlotte, so I guess that's whatever. I mean, we could just talk about how awful the Thunder played tonight, but I don't want to harp on a ton of negatives. We know they've been playing poorly. The defense has been awful. So let's look at a few positives tonight. I think first one, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl posting a double-double of 12 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. That's awesome. 2 of 4 from 3. He spaced the floor a little bit for them. Jeremiah is, I'm not going to say a high floor, like a medium floor, low ceiling type of player. I think what you see is what you get. Jeremiah is never going to, I don't think he's going to be a starter for your team whenever you get good. I think he's going to be a bench player. He's going to be like just a fundamental, makes the right play, is always in position type of player. He's never going to be a highlight reel type of guy. He's never going to be a guy that can come in and win you a game, but he'll be the kind of guy that can come in and just steady the ship a little bit for a bench unit whenever your team gets good again. That's what I see him being. And he kind of showed that tonight. Very efficient, 5 of 8 for 12 points. The 11 rebounds, I thought he was fine. He defended multiple positions. I think it's hard for anyone to guard Miles Bridges because how big and how athletic he is. Jeremiah had his crack a few times.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He was whatever, like he was fine. Do think we need to talk about the two players that I think are long for this team, and Josh Giddey and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Let's start with Josh, who posted a career high tonight. Shout out to Josh. Joseph Dieterman in the chat says Josh was a positive. Josh was definitely a positive tonight. 21 points, shot 10 of 17 from the field. Josh was getting to the rim at ease. He's got such a pretty little floater game. I love his little in-between floater game whenever he doesn't get all the way to the basket. Very soft touch on that. You really like to see it. He was attacking the basket, getting to the rim, getting layups. You love to see that as well. Also had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and only 1 turnover. Only 1 of 4 from 3 tonight. The 3 has started to tail off a little bit again after shooting it pretty hot after he came back from COVID protocols. I think there is something to the shot. It does look smoother. It looks better. It looks more fluid. There's not the weird leg kick thing. He just didn't shoot it great tonight, but I think Josh will be, in time, league average shooter. And if he can be a league average 3-point shooter, if he can shoot, let's say 35% from three, 36% from three, tonight he took 4 attempts. Let's say 3 years from now, Josh is taking 4 threes a game, hitting 36% of them, and still has the passing ability and the floater game and the getting to the rim game. That is a really, really good NBA player. Like, he doesn't have to shoot elite because he already has other elite skills. If he can just make people respect that three, it's going to open up lanes for his passing and his driving, and he's going to be a really special offensive player, I think. So he didn't shoot the three well tonight, but I loved what I saw from Josh in 33 minutes, 10 of 17 from the floor for 21 points, a career high for Josh. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander tonight, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, a block, and only 1 turnover. Shai was 10 of 23 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. I thought he maybe should have got a few more free throws tonight as he was relentlessly driving to the rim. I felt like he received a lot of contact and didn't get the whistle a whole heck of a lot. But a very, very solid night from Shai. Another 29 points on 23 shots. That's very efficient. You love to see that. The 6 assists, he continues to get into the lane and then kick out to shooters. Problem is, he doesn't have a lot of those shooters. The Thunder shot 27% from 3 tonight and only 38% from the field. Shai's, I haven't looked it up, but I bet Shai's potential assists for the past 5 or 6 games are like ungodly high. He just doesn't have guys that are finishing plays and finishing baskets. But he's the attention he draws going to the rim, his relentless driving to the basket is very special, and you love to see it. And hopefully he continues to be aggressive. I thought to start the game, he was very nonchalant, very relaxed, wasn't being very aggressive, especially defensively. I've talked about this a lot. I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's a special player. Maybe it's because he has so much of an offensive load. Maybe it's because he knows they're not really competing for anything. But I want to see Shai compete more defensively and be a better defender and a better defensive player. I think he can. And I just don't think he does right now. And so I'd like to see that change for sure. Let's look at Charlotte's box score tonight. They had a lot of contributors. PJ Washington, 20 points. LaMelo, 10, 9, and 8. Terry Rozier had 24, 5, and 9. Miles Bridges, 22 and 14. Gordon Hayward, 16, 7, and 4. Their big guys really did their heavy lifting for them tonight. 3 guys in double figures. 5 guys in double figures. 3 guys in 20-plus point territory tonight. So they got a lot of contributions across the floor. They hit 17 threes tonight, 35% from three. And one guy that I wanted to talk about for 3-point shooting for the Charlotte Hornets tonight, PJ Washington. He played 27 minutes. All of his field goal attempts came from three. He took 10 3-point attempts. He hit 6 of them. For 60% from three. He had 6 rebounds and 2 blocks and 20 points on the night. PJ Washington mentioned recently, I forget which national reporter mention this, but PJ Washington has been brought up in trade speculation. There's a belief around the NBA that PJ Washington is available leading up to the trade deadline. And I think it is very similar to the Cam Reddish situation in Atlanta, where the Charlotte Hornets just have too many players that are already being paid or about to get paid, and they just cannot afford to extend PJ Washington. So the word is that he is available for trade, possibly for a first round pick. You guys got to pardon me as I try to pull up the trade machine real quick. Here we go. I'm getting there now. So if we look at the Charlotte Hornets, Gordon Hayward making $30 million, Terry Rozier making $18 million, Kelly Oubre making $12 million. They are about to have to pay Miles Bridges, or did they already extend him? I do not know. But Miles Bridges is due money coming up. PJ Washington is due money starting this summer. They have LaMelo Ball, obviously his payday looming. So you have to wonder with Gordon Hayward and with Miles Bridges, if PJ Washington is just the odd man out there. PJ was also Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's teammate at the University of Kentucky. 6'7", 230 pounds. PJ Tucker can play that four spot for you. Pretty thick dude. He and Shai are about the same height, but pretty thick dude. Looking at PJ's stats, this season, he is playing less minutes. His first and second year in the league, he played 30 minutes a game. He's down to 24 minutes this season. This season and last season, he's basically shooting the same percentage. Actually, his whole career, NBA career, he's a 38% three-point shooter on four-plus attempts a game. This season, he's getting 5.4 rebounds, 2.2 assists, and a block a game. If we look at his per 36 this season, he's at 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block and a half. He could be that floor spacer that the Thunder need to open up things for Shai and for Josh. I think he would fit pretty well on this team at the four spot. You slide him in and you start him at the four instead of a guy like Baisley or instead of a guy like Aaron Wiggins. He is 23 and a half years old. He will be 24 in August. So he's a little bit... Saying the older side sounds dumb when he's 23 years old. But for this team, he's a little bit on the older side. But he's just an interesting player that I've kind of thought about as far as a possible trade target for the Thunder. I don't know where Washington is as far as the tax. I don't think they're anywhere close to the tax, if we're being honest. I don't have it pulled up, though. They are $19.7 million under the tax. So that they don't have any tax concerns to worry about. But it's just kind of an interesting one to me. Like, would they be, I don't know what they're going to get offered for PJ Washington. If they just want a first, I wonder, you know, he's a really good player. I think a lot of teams that are looking to push in the playoffs would be interested in him. Like if the Thunder offered the Phoenix Suns first round pick and Kenrich Williams for PJ Washington, like, I'm not against that. I think that might be a pretty good trade for the Thunder. The Hornets get a guy who can kind of duplicate what PJ Washington does in Kenrich. They get a first round pick in this coming draft. And then in return, the Thunder get a guy that's a little bit younger that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is familiar with. I think it could work. I really do. Charlotte does not have their own first round pick in 2022. They only have a first round pick via the Pelicans. I don't know what that pick is. Maybe they do have their, I don't know how this trade machine works and if it's telling me if they have their own pick or not. But if they're looking for a first-round pick, I think that might be an interesting way for the Thunder to get in there. I don't think that's something OKC would look to do, but I'm kind of intrigued with it. I would kind of be down with that if that's the direction the Thunder wanted to go. I think that might be a good trade. I would like to see PJ Washington here. I think it would all depend on how much money he wants next season. And also, I mean, if the Thunder landed one of these top picks, you're probably bringing in a guy that plays that same position in a Jabari Smith Jr., maybe a Paulo Banchero. So, well, guys, with that being said, I think that's going to be all for me tonight, because we are coming back your way in 24 hours after the Thunder take on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then 24 hours after that for our Sunday live stream. So if you jumped on my live stream tonight, I didn't get to a lot of these comments. Let me hit them real quick because I don't want to leave you guys hanging. Joseph Dieterman said Shea is a great player. They just plays ISO so much. They were in a great role in the third, and then they pulled Giddy and it went downhill. You know, Joseph, I think Shea did have a few possessions tonight where he attacked off the catch instead of off the dribble and had some catch and shoot threes that I did like. So maybe we're moving in the right way. Joseph also says Trey Mann is regressing a little. I don't know. I think regressing is the right term. He hasn't played enough to regress. And Xander said, only problem about being competitive and keeping games close is that the guys are good enough to win at least a handful. Getting blown out is a blessing in disguise. You know, Xander, you might be onto something there. I do think they need to keep some games close and win one here and there just for the morale of the team, though. I know the players want to win. Win a week is what I've been saying. And I'm still on that train. As we get out of here, quick look at Tankathon. The Houston Rockets are currently taking on the Golden State Warriors as we speak, and they are up by 11 at halftime. If they win that game, they are essentially tied with the Thunder for the third spot in the reverse standings. That would be massive. A big hit for the Thunder tank, though, tonight as the Clippers come back and beat the Philadelphia 76ers. Damn it, Philly. We needed you to win. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for jumping on. I appreciate you. Thanks for downloading our podcast. Quick sim before we get out of here, Thunder. End up with pick number 4. I think we'd all be okay with Jaden Ivey. You guys, take it easy. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your Saturday. Please stay healthy. Don't get Omicron. We want you guys to be good and healthy. And check us out tomorrow after the Cleveland Cavaliers game. Until then, and as always, Thunder up!
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.